many memories of my dad, my earthly father, as I play with me. He'd throw ball with me, shoot baskets with me. One of the maybe less, there are two of less favorable memories that, not less favorable, but painful memories, are when I was playing catch with my dad, and I had thrown the ball to him, and for some reason I had looked away. He threw the ball, and it hit me right in the jaw. And ever since, I've had kind of a cracking jaw, whatever. Or the time that we were playing basketball, and we had a basketball hoop on the garage, and our garage door was open, and our old, I don't know what year it was, Ford car that had the fins and had those tail lights that stick out. Well, a shot went up, and I grabbed a rebound and was down, and my dad gave me a shove, and I ran into that, and my head cut open, and blood was running everywhere, and went into the house to Mom, and she said, "We've got to take you to the doctors to get that stitched up." So my dad did those things with me, and I loved that. It was wonderful. And I remember my dad for all of the lessons that he taught me as well, the lessons that were ethical lessons, moral lessons, biblical lessons that he shared with me and helped me grow into maturity. And then entering adulthood, my dad didn't step out of my life. He was still there. As we were in Pennsylvania and involved in pastoral ministry, I was also involved as one of the board members on Kenbrook Bible Camp Board of Directors. And it was a point in time when the camp was expanding and we had just built a conference facility, needed someone to come and kind of be an on-site presence there. And my mom and dad came and they gave 2 years voluntary service at the camp. So I had opportunity to interact with my dad with that particular ministry in that particular time. And then as we were in Ohio and started the camp ministry, and I don't remember how old my dad was. Maybe, Margaret, you can help me. He was in his upper 70s, I think. But we were beginning this camp ministry. We had a building that had was housing cabins for children and adults, and also had our kitchen and dining room in that was up on a hill. And then we had an open pavilion that was down below it a bit, and there was a driveway in between. So we needed to build some steps. So my dad, at the point when he was in his upper 70s, was there to help. And I said, "Well, will you help me put railroad ties in as steps up to this kitchen cabin area?" So I still remember my dad taking a sledgehammer and driving rebar through the railroad ties into the ground to secure these railroad ties and helping me put those in up to this cabin at 70. And every once in a while, he'd just have to stop and rest. I'm beginning to understand what that's like and how special that was for him to do that with me. Well, my dad didn't stop being a dad in our family then either. Our son graduated from high school and moved to Kansas to rodeo. He lived with Grandpa and Grandma for a bit and then lived on his own. But there were several times that Matt was out with Grandpa building fence at the pasture. And one of Matt's favorite memories that he talks about is the fact that when he was building fence with Grandpa, that Grandpa would all of a sudden break into the singing of a hymn. And so Matt remembers him for that, and that's precious to us as we think of that. And then as my dad came to the end of life, the last number of years, I'm not quite sure when it began, but he began to have dementia, and the dementia got a bit worse as time went on. But one of the things about my dad that was really special through those last years is that, he always maintained that quiet, joyful spirit. And, it didn't matter, what it was. There was usually some kind of smile on his face and some good statement in his heart. One of the things that last year or so that my dad loved was to be taken in a vehicle and go for a drive. And as I would get him in the truck and we'd go for a drive, and I'd take him to Milford with me to go fishing, and my dad would say, "Oi, isn't this Kansas countryside beautiful?" And 3 minutes later, he'd say, "Isn't this Kansas countryside beautiful?" And, you know, he'd repeat that over and over again. And, you know, it's those special memories of my dad that will remain with me forever. You know, my dad's gone a couple of years now, but one of the things that I like to talk about when I talk to us about family and about life is that we never lose those memories. A family member, a dad, a mom may pass, a child may pass, but there are memories that remain with us, and we need to cherish those. David, in this Psalm 103, talks about a father's compassion. And as we think about Jesus and his life and his teaching, we think about that as well. In Luke chapter 15, there are three parables that Jesus uses to talk about fathers, to talk about who God is in relationship to us. There are three parables that I'm not going to read those now, but I'm just going to talk about them, and you'll remember them. You know, the first one of those parables has to do with the shepherd and the sheep. And as you will recall, there was a sheep that got out of the fold and left and was lost. And the good shepherd left the 99 and went out in search of that one lost sheep, to find that one lost sheep and to find him and bring him back to the fold. And that's that demonstration of the love and compassion of God our Father. The next parable was that of a widowed lady who lost a coin. And the parable says that Jesus says that she swept the house. She took her lamp, she lighted it, she swept the house until she found that lost coin. And again, you know, Jesus says, this is how the Father is. This is how he loves you. This is how he loves those who are lost. And then the third parable is one that gets preached often, and it's often called the parable of the prodigal son. You know, this morning, you know, I use that in this sense. It's the parable of the father who had compassion for the lost son. There are four themes that we see throughout these parables that I want to lift up to us today. The first is this: the reality of lost. The first is the reality of lost. We have all experienced losing something. We've all experienced times when there's something that was there that is now gone. You know, in God's eyes, we are lost until we come to salvation. In God's eyes, we are lost until we come to salvation. It's a little like Dan spoke of, a little like Mark spoke of, with these persons who don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. They're lost. They're lost to God the Father. You know, there are times and opportunities in our lives when we lose the opportunity to speak and to do something. Dan, that's why I prayed for you specifically today. I pray you won't lose the opportunity to speak to this friend, this person who you've talked about. And for all of us, as opportunities to come to speak to the reality of our faith in Jesus Christ, we need to take those opportunities. But in reality, all of us have seen times, experienced times, when something has happened and we look back and we say, oh shoot, I should have said this or I should have said that, and we've lost that opportunity. You know, we all have times when we lose stuff, wallets, cell phones. You know, there have been numbers of times that Margaret says, well, where's my phone? And so I get on my phone and I dial her up, and it starts to bing. Oh, there it is. We found it. And you know of that. You know what that's like. Or the losing of our keys is one of the other things that happens often, and we say, okay, what am I going to do? What I did was this, okay? I shouldn't say this publicly, I guess, on camera, but I'll tell you anyhow. I was afraid of losing my keys, so what did I do? I got one of those little boxes that has a magnet on it, and I put a truck key in it, and I slipped it up in a safe spot in my truck where when I lose my keys, I can always go and get a key and get in my truck and go home or wherever I'm going. We know the reality of loss, don't we? The reality in which there are times that there are things that we lose that aren't there. The second thing is this. You know, the pain of and anxiety that we experience when we lose something. The pain and anxiety that we experience when we lose something. There is significant pain. There are two things here in Jesus' teaching that particularly we think about in relationship to the pain of loss. First of all, that loss of relationship. It may be the deepest loss that we feel, the loss of relationship. God's feeling loss when sin enters the Garden of Eden. We cannot imagine what God must have felt. But I'm sure he felt that loss of the created man and woman who he created perfectly to have relationship with. And then all of a sudden, sin comes into the picture. And when God comes walking through the garden, they run and they hide. And God must have felt a deep sense of loss in terms of that relationship. God feeling the loss when there's a person who comes to faith and begins a walk with them, with Jesus, and that person turns their back and walks away from God. Can you imagine that loss? Can you imagine the loss that comes when a child walks away from you as a parent? I know Lyle and Molly have had so many foster kids, and there have been numbers of those children who have been loved by them, who have turned their backs and walked away, who've rejected their love, who've rejected their teaching, their teaching, their wanting to bring them to Christ. The losses that we feel when someone turns their back on God, especially someone who's close to us. Can you imagine how God feels when that happens? Those relationships have a sense of deep pain that comes when there is loss of that relationship. Right now, for Margaret and me, you know, anticipating the reality that mom's going to be gone very shortly. You know, the pain of that loss. You know, when we've loved a family member, and when it comes to that time when that family member is no longer there, there's painful loss that is there, that loss of relationship that is so painful. That's something that God understands, God knows. And that's the reality of our lives. When we lose someone close to us, God understands and God comes alongside us and God helps us. We're thankful. Then there's just that loss of stuff and the pain of knowing that, oh man, I lost my wallet. Now I'm going to have to go through the process of getting a new license, of taking care of all those credit cards, canceling them all, redoing all of that. It's painful to lose stuff. Yesterday, as I was in the office, you know, Margaret texted me and wondered where the red watering can was that she uses to water her flowers. I had put it away when I cleaned the garage for the fish fry, and I said, well, shoot, I'm not quite sure where I put it. Maybe here, maybe there. You know, the loss of something that you need now is painful. The loss of stuff becomes painful. I Think of the father who loses his son, that prodigal son. The son comes and says, "Hey, Dad, I want to leave home. Will you give me my money and my stuff?" And the son leaves. Feel the loss of that father where the son leaves. Feel the loss of the shepherd. Those of you who have animals, I remember a point in time when I was a kid and, you know, we think coyotes came and scared the cattle and they took off and they broke the fence and were gone. And the pain for my dad of losing some of his cattle, and who knows where they might have gone. And what he did was get on the phone and start calling neighbors. "Have you seen any of my cattle out there?" And then going and starting to round them up and find them. And then there's one that they couldn't find. And I think it was, you know, several weeks later that someone said, I think I see your cow or your steer, as it was, in our pasture with my cattle. But the pain of losing and then the seeking of those things, the reality that, you know, that which is lost, there's pain in that. And the fourth part, I'm sorry, I'm backtracking here a bit, okay? There's a point that I've not come to. So the pain of the loss and that loss. One of the interesting things about these parables is this. If you notice in the parable of the prodigal son, the dad, the father, doesn't do what the shepherd did, doesn't do what the woman who lost her coin did. They both pursued looking. They both pursued finding that which was lost. Notice in this parable of the prodigal son, the father does not pursue the son. The father does not go looking for him as in the previous two parables. I think this is significant. The father does not pursue. What's important to understand here, though, is this. It is important for us to understand that the love of the father never ends. That father of that prodigal son didn't stop loving his son. He didn't pursue him. He didn't chase him. He didn't go to find him. That did not mean that he did not still love his son. For those of you who have children who've left, you know the reality of this. You know that the love that is in your heart is something that is still there. It doesn't leave. I think one of the things we need to understand about the love and compassion of this father of the prodigal son is that it was a love that had God's wisdom. There are times when we should not pursue a relationship. Our men's group has been reading through Proverbs and talking about wisdom and talking about God's wisdom in different kinds of places, in different kinds of situations. I think this parable illustrates the reality that there are times that our love needs to take a different kind of look. It needs to be exercised in a different kind of a way. It's a time when we say, "Spirit of God, come. Show me what I should do in relationship to this lost son or this lost relationship," whatever that may be. But remember, the love of God never leaves for those who walk away from him and reject him. The love of God has not left that son or daughter or friend who is not following after God's ways. God still loves. We still love. God may not be pursuing them in quite the same way as the woman who's looking for her coin or the shepherd who goes after that lost sheep. It may be the love that this father showed for his prodigal son. We need to remember that. Then finally, the fourth thing is this. Finding the lost brings times of celebration. So finding the lost brings time of celebration. The greatest time of celebration comes when that wayward child, that sinful child, comes to understand their depravity. Think of that prodigal son. And when all of a sudden his thinking turned, he realized that his depravity, he realized that his sin had brought him so low that the only option for a dinner table was the slop of the pigs that he was caring for. Folks, that's what we need to pray for in those who are lost, who are our family members. We need to pray that they come to the place of that prodigal son where they realize that their life of sin is so bad that they're doing nothing more than eating from the slop of pigs. And there's a better place that they can be. And they decide, I'm going to come back. I'm going to ask Dad if I can just be a servant. And indeed, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to have that heart that says, yo, we are nothing. We have nothing without you, Father. And we're going to come back, even if we can just be one of your servants. And in fact, that's the greatest thing that we can be, is a servant of our Lord and our God. And God welcomes us back into the place of servanthood where we no longer have to be with the pigs, but we can be in God's presence. And the Father celebrates that wayward son. He's down the road. He's coming home. And what does the Father do? He runs to meet that wayward son and welcome him back. What does he do? He celebrates. What does the shepherd do when he finds that lost sheep and brings it back? He celebrates. What does the lady do, the widow do, when she finds that lost coin? She invites her friends and she celebrates. Folks, celebrate. Celebrate. When God does things that bring new life and bring hope, where life has been lost, where relationships have been lost, where stuff has been lost, celebrate. Celebrate. It's what God does. What does the scripture say? Even the angels in heaven celebrate when one of those who is lost comes back and comes to salvation. Think about your children who may be lost. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Keep trusting. God loves them. God cares for them. If they come to salvation, have a big party. Have a celebration, because that's what God is doing, and that's what we should do when the lost are found. God, our Father, is waiting. He's patiently waiting. There's love, there's compassion in his heart for those who are lost. He understands. God, our Father, understands. My dad understood what he had to offer me in his presence, in his help. Not only helping me, helping my son. Think about how much more God understands and wants to come. Help us put those railroad ties in and drive those rebar pins down through. Help us find what is lost. Help us realize the joy of salvation, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those we love as well. God, our Father, is a God of compassion. He's a God who seeks when it's time to seek. He's a God who waits when it's time to wait. Dale, Dad, whomever we may be. Lord, help us. Help us know when to pursue. Help us to know when to wait. Always keep that heart of compassion full and overflowing for those that you have given us to love. We're going to sing a children's song. And we're just going to sing the first verse. And Margaret, we're going to sing it twice, okay? Jesus loves me. Stand with me as we sing.